Before you turn to the scripture, I'm going to mention a couple of things to you tonight, and then we'll go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9 tonight. Did you know they have reported that they believe they have found a cure for cancer? And this is coming from Israel. It's coming from Israel. And I hope so. I mean, I've seen a number of people down through the years pass away with cancer, and it's not a pretty sight. And I hope so. After you live in this world a while, you see anything that alleviates suffering, you appreciate it. There's plenty of suffering to go around, believe me. So if they found something that'll cure cancer, why, God bless them and more power to them. Netflix has issued a kind of a warning to people, a rebuke, if you please. They've come out with a movie here about Ted Bundy. And this movie, I don't think it's been out too long, but the man that plays Ted Bundy he looks a lot like him. And Ted Bundy was no question about the fact that he was a charismatic, good-looking type man. He's the kind of person that drew women. This is one of the reasons he was able to kill so many of them. He killed over 30 women. And he was a vicious murderer. Bottom line, Ted Bundy was a vicious murderer. He was a monster. But they're calling this guy hot. They're calling him hot. They're saying he's hot. And that, of course, is is what what this young generation today means by hot. Apparently, it means that he's desirable, whatever else hot means. When I was in high school, it was cool. So we've gone from cool to hot. So somewhere along the line, we'll hit lukewarm. But is what now? Groovy, yeah, groovy. Oh, man. But anyway, they're telling people, don't call him hot. And the reason they do is because young people today, and the people who use this terminology, are moved by what they see and what they feel, and they really don't think into what's going on. You would never call a monster like that hot. And the families are very upset, rightfully so. The families who've lost, daughters and wives and what forth to this monster. So, but it tells me that the generation's coming along exactly the way the one worlders want them to. They don't think. They are moved by emotion. And that's exactly where they want them to do that. There's an abortion bill that's just come out. And an infant could be delivered, and then physicians and the mother could decide if it lives. You're talking about a baby that's born now. A baby's born, and it is up to the mother and the physician to determine if it lives. That's called infanticide. That's called murder. That's called, shouldn't even be considered. The baby's born, it's breathing, and yet they're going to determine if it lives. Shirts are out now that say abortion is awesome. People are calling, if they have for a long time, the unborn child is called a fetus. I'm glad I made it past the fetus stage, aren't you? Yeah, but that's what they're doing. They give it some kind of a clinical term so they can cut away from some of the what's going on with killing babies. Bottom line is that the country is being brainwashed and they can no longer think analytically. And when you get into a situation like that, you call evil good and good evil. You're ready for the Antichrist. They're ready for him. They're ready. I've watched it now, just in the last 10 years. They're ready right now. They'll embrace him. They'll take him. They'll take his mark and they'll be proud of it. And they'll embrace him when he shows up. Right now, 120 million Hindus. Now that's a big figure, folks. That's a third of the population of this country. Think about that for a moment. 120 million Hindus are meeting for one of the most sacred days and periods of time in the Hindu religion. They're gathering together at the Ganges River. They go into the Ganges River and they wash themselves and they bathe and they go through sacred rituals to wash their sins away. That's what they're doing. They go into the Ganges River. According to the tradition among the Hindus, the Ganges River came down out of heaven And Shiva, which is one of the Hindu trinity, Shiva made sure that it came down and flowed down the way it does in confluence with another river. And at that point, it's the most sacred site in India. Bathing in this river cleanses a person of their sin. And that's such a sad thing tonight, that people are locked in that kind of ignorance. We support a missionary, folks, to India. And we support him. And he's a good man. And he's over there preaching the word. He's an Indian himself. And he got saved. And that's really the best you... I think a lot of times an autonomous, indigenous, that's the word, minister is a lot of times, sometimes better than somebody that comes in from the outside, because he understands their culture and he knows their language and he can minister to them. And so he's ministering to them. But the Hindu has been around a long time. Started with the Brahmin, and then it went to the developed into what today is what's called Hinduism. They have millions of gods, but they have a Hindu trinity, which is Brahma, the creator, Vishnu, the sustainer, and Shiva, the creator, the destroyer, and creator. Shiva is the one that you'll find over there at CERN, Switzerland. He's dancing the Nataraj. It's a round thing like this, and Shiva's in the middle of it, and I've told you about Shiva before. The idea is that he destroys and then he rebuilds or recreates, and that's what they're trying to do at CERN, supposedly, on the surface. CERN is built over the site of an ancient holy site, if you want to call it that, to Apollo. It's supposed to have been a gate to the underworld. And it's odd how they chose a place like that, but at CERN, they are experimenting. Bertolucci, who was the director there for a while at CERN, said that we hope that we can open a door into another dimension, and that for just a few particles of a second, we'll be able to peer into another dimension that we can't see otherwise. He says, but we do run the risk that once we open that door into another dimension, that something may leave ours and go over there, or something may come from over there into ours. And so that prompted this theoretical physicist who just passed away. What was his name? Hawking. It prompted Hawking to warn the world and to warn the physicist at Switzerland, at CERN, be careful, you may be opening Pandora's box. You may open up something that you're totally unprepared to deal with. The bottom line is that regardless of what method you use, you can enter into a spirit world sometimes by crossing a door. Revelation chapter number 9 says that an angel comes down with the key to the bottomless pit. He opens it and Apollyon the Badden comes out. This place at CERN is built over the ancient, they say, gate or pit to the underworld of a temple to Apollo. All right? Apollyon. Apollo is short for Apollyon. Apollyon means destroyer. That's what Shiva is. He's the destroyer. So they're making a connection between the ancient religions of Greece and also the religion of India. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter to the theoretical physicist what spirit world he taps into if he thinks he can get some help from it. Believe me, these people are very religious. So they're doing that. And right now, we don't know what they've let out. We don't know what's come out. But we know, according to the book of Revelation, something's coming out of that pit. And when it comes up out of that pit, it's going to come up in the tribulation period. And we're getting close to it. We're getting very close. So they go to the Ganges River, and they go there to wash their sins away. I want to ask you a question tonight. How do you know your sins have been washed away? That's a good question. There's an awful lot of people in religion that are doing everything in the world they can to buy peace with God. They give offerings, they make pilgrimages, they do everything because they don't have any peace. They believe a lot of things, but they don't have any real peace. And you'll never have any peace until you know your sins are forgiven. Until you know it for certain. Until you really know. So can you really know? Look at Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 8. Can you really know? That's the question. The scripture says the Holy Ghost is signifying... Hebrews 9, verse 8. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. Now look carefully. That could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the what? The conscience. You see that? Now watch this. Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. The simple truth is that in the Old Testament, from Adam all the way until Christ, every sacrifice of bulls and goats and the blood of bulls and goats and all the sacrifice of the tabernacle and then the temple could never make that person's conscience clear, clean. Do you know what it is tonight to be forgiven and have a cleanliness come upon your soul? Feel clean? You know you're forgiven. You know your past is clean now. There's nothing like that. That's a peace from God. That's one of the sure signs if you're born again, because you have that peace that passes understanding. But you don't get that by working. You don't get that. You don't even get that by sacrifice or anything that you can give. The only way you can get that peace is by trusting what Christ has done for you. And once you really trust Him, the Holy Spirit comes in, baptizes you into the body of Christ, forgives you, and washes you in the blood of Christ. And then you have peace. Now, if you're here tonight and you're living in this flesh, and you are, you can remember where you came from and what your life used to be like. And you can even remember a lot of the sins that you committed before you were saved. You can remember them. And sometimes as you get older, they'll plague you. And Satan will beat you to death with it, with what you did in the past. And so you say to yourself, well, then I can remember all of that. How in the world can I have peace with God? Because there's another part of you. There's the part of you that cannot sin. 1 John chapter number 2, he that is born of God cannot sin, for his seed remaineth in him. It's utterly impossible for that spirit that is born of the living God to sin. There's something about that that you can go to, and you can go to God, and you can say, Lord, I know I'm saved, and I know that what's happening to me is either coming from my mind, which mostly it is, or it's coming from the accuser of the brethren, which is the devil. If the devil can keep you beaten down and keep you living in the past, you'll never have that victory that you need in the Lord. There's victory in the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse 14 says this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see this? Notice how the conscience, that the apostle says, your conscience. Have you ever felt guilty when you did something? Of course you have. Especially when you're growing up, been caught, sometimes you get caught red-handed. And that means that you're caught in the act. That's what it means. Red-handed. You're caught in the act. And then that guilt comes over you. You feel, it's a terrible feeling. But it's a good feeling because it shows you've got a conscience. Because that guilt is coming from your conscience. And God gave you that conscience when He made you. He gave it to you. That's one of the things that differentiates you from the animal creation. Because you're a far more complex being than a dog or a cat or any other kind of an animal. The conscience, therefore, if it's defiled, has a perverted sense to it. You can get to the point in your conscience to where you do something over and over and over and over again. It doesn't bother you anymore. It doesn't bother you. And this is where the Bible talks about a conscience that is seared, like taking a hot iron. You have literally burned the nerve endings, and there's no more feeling. And that's the way it is with a conscience. Some people can sin, and they can do some pretty atrocious things, and it doesn't bother them. Have you ever watched any news reels about Ted Bundy? Have you ever seen how this man could laugh? He could smile. He was so social. He was on top of it socially. He knew exactly how to interact with people. He knew how to charm people. He was good at it. Yet he had just killed some woman. He had blood on his hands. He was a serial murderer. Yet he could come across as if he's just a guy next door. How could he do that? His conscience was seared. He didn't feel the guilt. And medicine has a term for that. They call it a psychopath. What's a psychopath? A psychopath is somebody that can inflict harm on you. They can injure you, and it doesn't bother them. As a matter of fact, they can even get pleasure from it, from injuring you. That's a psychopath. They don't feel what you feel. Their conscience is absolutely void of any feeling whatsoever. I'm afraid there's an awful lot of people that go to the church house and they go with Sunday after Sunday and they think they're Christians and yet they continue practicing certain sins and it doesn't bother them and there's no conviction and yet they say they're Christians. They're not. Because if the Holy Spirit can no longer convict you for something, then you're finished. What do you mean? If he cannot chasten you and deal with you as with a son, then he'll turn you over to the devil and you're finished. In other words, your life's over. A sure sign that you're born again is the fact that if you get off into something and you keep in it and you stay at it and you won't confess it and you won't get forgiveness for it and God keeps working with you and convicting you and you won't listen to him, then he turns you over and here's the scary part. You don't feel it anymore. You don't feel the conviction anymore. That's a good indication he's signed your death warrant and you're ready to go. It is. It's a good indication. So as long as God is chastening you for something you've done, and he'll let you know what it is, as long as he chastens you for it, it's a good indication he's dealing with you as with a son. And he does it for your good. When you get home this afternoon, this evening, when you get home, turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and read that. And pray over it. God will give you some wisdom. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. See that? They never had that peace, that absolute sense of forgiveness. Now, how could they? They could be forgiven, but the conscience cannot be cleansed. Because the only thing that can cleanse your conscience is the blood of Christ. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. See that? See that? But they still had a conscience of sins, a consciousness of sins. They went in there, they offered their sacrifices, they prayed, they went through the Day of Atonement and all that. And yet when they went home that evening, there was this nagging guilt. They had done the right thing. They knew they were right with God. But the nagging guilt, because it was not cleansed away. And the only thing that can cleanse that is the blood of Christ. Look at Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. For your own edification, why don't you do a Google search on the internet about washing your sins away, and you'd be surprised at how many places leave out Revelation 1:5. They leave it out completely. And this is one of the most profound statements in the whole Bible. Yet they leave it out. And most of them leave it out because they know that down at the local Bible college, they teach the young men that Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 5 should be reading, and loosed us from our sins. See? In his own blood. I don't know what the blood is for to loose you from your sins. Which it gets into manuscript evidence. It gets into the Greek text that the New Testament is translated from. The majority text, the Masoretic text that the King James Bible is translated from, has washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood covenant. Now, there's nothing greater on this earth than to know you're right with God. Really, there's nothing greater than that. Nothing. That's a wonderful thing. Because if you know that you're right with God, you know, if you walk out the back door and your heart stops out there in the foyer and you have a cardiac arrest and you drop to the ground, if you know you're right with God, no sooner does this eye close in this flesh than it opens in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It is. It is. When you go to bed at night, you just lay your head back on the pillow. And as my grandfather used to say, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many's ever heard that? My grandfather used to tell me that all the time when I was just a little boy. When you lay your head, and I don't say that every night, but that's true to me. Is it true for you? I lay my head on the bed. I don't worry about ever waking up, whether I wake up or not. I just lay down, and there I am. Usually, I go off into dreamland. It's amazing. How many know what a CPAP is? I use a CPAP, and that thing is pumping oxygen into your mouth and through your nostrils. You know, and you wouldn't believe what a dream fest I have when I'm plugged up to that man. With all that oxygen being pumped into my head. Man, I tell you, it's amazing. Anybody else have that same thing that happens? It's something else. Yes. You need one. And you dream away, boy. Plug up. It's amazing. It really is. I've got a mild case of sleep apnea. And that's why they got that when I had my heart problem. They checked me and found that. But in any event, I lay down and I didn't worry about it. I'll walk out of here tonight. If I don't ever see you again here, I'll meet you by the river. Amen. I know where I'm going. I'll meet you by the river. I'll meet you by the river. I know my sins are forgiven. I don't know of anything right now, the way I'm standing before you right now. I don't know of anything between the Lord and me. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Amen. If you've got something in your life that you're not sure about, then there's something between you and God. Are you following me? If you're not sure about it, if you're in doubt of it, then there's a problem with it. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? See, so if you're not sure about it, you need to get it settled. You need to make sure that you know it's right. And I'm not saying that you're going to die and go to hell. No, that's not what I'm saying. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. Nothing's going to stop that. You're going to go be with the Lord. That won't change. That was settled the moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior. You were born again. But isn't it good to go to bed at night and not have to worry about it? I mean, folks, good night. I mean, I can think of at least two or three cases right here at Temple Baptist Church where they went to bed and they never woke up. They just went to bed, pulled the covers up, and that's it. They found their body lying there and they had gone during the night. You could leave worse ways than that. You could. There are a whole lot worse things in this world than cardiac arrest. Believe me. A whole lot worse. So a conscience that's void of offense. A conscience that's cleansed. A conscience that's clean. I know what I used to be. I know where I came from. I know what I was. But I am not what I used to be tonight. I know I am not what I used to be. Amen. And that makes all the difference in the world. Do you know that? Amen. How many of you here have been saved over 10 years? 15 years? 20 years? 25 years? 30 years? Been saved a long time in here, right? I don't know how many have I been saved. I got saved in 73. 40, 73. Let's see, 70. 30, 40, 40, 49, and then take three off of that, 46. 46 years. Math is not one of my fortes, believe me. 46 years. It'll be 46 years in August when I was saved. 46 years. And brother, it is sweeter today than it was when I got saved. Amen, 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 amen. 46 years. Hallelujah. And this December the 9th, will be my 52nd wedding anniversary. God's been good to me. You've been good to me. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. He's been better to me than anybody. I don't care what you say. He's been good to me. God has been good to me. He let me lay flat on my back in heart failure. He got my attention about, he won't talk to me, won't say some things to me. I listened. Amen. Yes, sir. Well, brother, I think so. I think it's dealing with the conscience of man, because that's what he's talking about in Romans 2.
Yeah, because I mean, if you even talk to an unbeliever, the Ten Commandments, just say Ten Commandments, are always, you don't have to convince them that they're lying. You don't have to convince them because they either stole, lied, or all the above. But they know it with the conscience. Conscience means with knowledge. Mm-hmm. They have that knowledge and know what they say. Whether they admit it or not, that's another question.
Well, that's very true, sure.
In John, when he says he lies every man, I think it makes it so much more clear.
He lieth every man. Yes, he does. He's the light that lighteth every man. There's something about the nature of God you can't explain. We know God, the Lord Jesus, is God manifest in flesh, but nobody knows the essence of God. Nobody. Nobody knows the essence of the Father. If you knew the essence of the Father, you'd know where to find him. You can't find him. You don't know what to look for. God is a spirit being, eternal, omniscient, omnipresent spirit being. Amen. And the longer I live, the more I marvel at the God that I serve tonight. Amen. Amen. I don't have him figured out. I don't have him in any way figured out. No, but I believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he's God manifest in the flesh. Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Conscience void of offense. Amen. That's good. Do you have any trouble sleeping? Sometimes it may be a conscience. It may be you've done something. It may be that you need to get out and get on your knees and get right with God and get back in bed and you have a good night's sleep. It's amazing how people will carry something like that and then carry it and keep carrying it and carry it, wrestle with it and fight with it. Why don't you just confess it? He said, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Simple confession. Homologia, to agree with him in word. Amen. All right, well, I'm done.